The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 23rd, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, it was a chilly day coming here to the studio. Oh, wow, I'm glad we have these nice warm jackets that we can put on. You know, I'm on a roll of appreciating everything that I have, and I certainly appreciate warmth. Anyway, joining me on the phone this morning will be Judy Armstrong, a founder of the We Are the Women, advocates for women and allies to vote on the 2024 election. We Are the Women, a call to action for women and their allies to vote on the 2024 election. The idea is to do something, do a little bit more by getting involved with maybe door knocking, canvassing, texting, signs. You know, one of the things they're suggesting is that we talk to 10 friends at least and have them talk to 10 friends. And it's like a phone tree to encourage people to get out and vote. You know, it's been too long that they've told us our vote does not count. And when you're listening before we go on the air on Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, you hear all the different things that are folks doing to try to inhibit the vote. So you can see how important your vote is, especially this election. I mean, it's really getting scary out there. I mean, all the violence that's happening. You know, I was thinking about it today. Ken and I go to Unity Church. We go every Sunday, and it's like kind of non-dimensional. And I've discovered that in listening to the sermons and what the minister talks about, Patricia Keel, is that unity is really a way of life, a way to love, a way to understand people, a way to have more compassion. You know, and to be more of a participant in your community. I mean, we vote every 4 years for president, but it takes a lot more than just doing that. We all have to be engaged in some way or another, you know, to make sure that we maintain our freedoms, especially when we look at all the rights that women are losing. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. Well, anyway, during this show this morning, we'll be talking about the importance of voting, how folks can participate, along with discussing their latest video, We Are the Women. This song was inspired by the video We Are the World that was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. It is amazing what these women did with this melody, updated it into what is happening in our world today. And we'll be playing the song in two parts during our musical break. Part one will play for the first 2 minutes, and then when we take a musical break, when we have the interview with our guests, we will also play the second part. This way we can get the whole song in. And also, all the information will be on our website, how you can access the song, how you can listen to it, and how you can pass it on to your friends. Well, I have a few announcements, and I think I did this once before, but they just issued an article in the Press Democrat about a dear friend, Martin Joseph Hamilton, and I want to send out condolences to his family and the friends. He was really one of my dear friends. He was born on November 29th, 1949, and he made his transition the first of the month, September 1st, 2024. He was a father to Braden, Trevor, and Dylan, grandfather to Deanna, Nalia, and Sage, son and brother. And he was a kind and faithful friend. And when you really knew him, you know, Martin had a certain softness about him. Also, he was the gatekeeper for the Arlene Francis Center here in Santa Rosa. He will really be missed. Wow, so many friends are leaving us. You know, we all need to take a moment to reflect and be grateful that we're alive today. I mean, you know, I'm 84 years old, and when I get up in the morning, I say, thank you, Great Spirit. Thank you for another day to live, another day to laugh, another day to express kindness and compassion to others. Well, special happy birthday to my dear friend Nancy Rogers. Nancy is the president of the North Bay Black Chamber and is a strong voice of activism and encouragement for many. Nancy and I have been neighbors for over 30 years, and she is one of the best friends I've ever had. I want to wish her a joyous life filled with good health, peace of mind, and continued prosperity. And also to thank all the people that showed up to celebrate her birthday. What an amazing woman she is and the impact that she is making in our community here in Sonoma County. Well, another birthday I have is a dear friend of mine. Happy birthday to Susan Shunko. Susan is an activist in our community and a loyal member of the Green Party. Susan is not afraid to stand up and speak out for those in need. And it's really an honor to know her. So happy birthday, Susan, and I wish you good health and happiness. I know she has some health challenges, but you know something that goes around with the program. You know, the older you get, the more health challenges you have. And also, you know, when I wish people happy birthday and I think another year of their life has passed, I think of all the good things they've done, and I think of all the things that Nancy's done and Susan has done, and also my friend Martin Hamilton. It's just amazing that to know some of these great people, and I'm sure you do too. In fact, one thing that I try to do is I try to send a little card or a little thank you or something every once in a while to remind people that I'm thinking about them. And it also makes them feel good, you know, with all the junk mail you get. Don't you get excited when all of a sudden you see a little card from somebody? So I think it's really important that we reach out. You know, it's kind of, sometimes I feel like we live in a doom and gloom world. You know, sometimes the weather makes us feel gloomy. The politics make us feel gloomy. You know, when we really stop and think about it, each day is a miracle. Each day has so much to offer. I know when I get a little bit discouraged, I go out in my backyard and I look at the trees. You know, I watch the hummingbird come in. I check out the butterflies and the butterfly plant. You know, and it really makes you feel really, really good when you start thinking about that. And we need things to make us feel good these days. Well, as we do every Monday, we do a segment called Our History is Our Strength. Now, I say this every week. Why do we do this? Because we are standing on the shoulders of so many wonderful women. And I think during their times, if they could stand up, during our times here, we could stand up. So I want to say happy birthday, and this is a very wonderful person. I think we even had her in our National Organization for Women's, the Sonoma County Chapter's calendar. She was born September 23rd, 1863, and she made her transition in 1964, and that was Mary Church Terrell. She was an outstanding speaker, and she was the very first president of the National Organization of Colored Women in 1896, and they picketed in Washington, D.C. for women's suffrage and desegregation. And, you know, it's really interesting when you start thinking about it. You know, women of color are very, very strong, and they've been activists, I mean, forever and ever. I mean, when you really get into women's history, you see what an impact they had. And it's amazing. I want to do a shout out for the National Women's History Alliance, because they brought a lot of this history forward, you know, to let us know we're standing on the shoulders. And when you think of Mary Church Terrell, an African American woman, not very popular in the suffrage movement, you know, they wanted the women, the white women, to get the vote, and it was really kind of a mixed bag there. And here we are in 2024, and we're still struggling trying to get all of us to vote. So happy birthday, Mary Church Terrell. And then we have another interesting person that I think that's very interesting. She was also born in September 23rd, and she was born in 1899. Louise Nevelson. She was a sculptor. She migrated from Kiev. I believe Kiev is in Russia, to Maine, and she taught in the, you know, when during President Roosevelt's time, when he had the New Deal, he had a kind of like a programs that they had. They had very progressive. It was called the Works Progressive Administration in 1943. In the 1970s, she created a massive steel works combining cubism and expressionism. So she was an inventor also. So she really contributed a lot when you start thinking about that. And she was a woman born in 1899. I mean, women were really go to the back of the bus as far as men were concerned. I mean, when you think about when you were starting to vote, we're losing our rights now. When you think about about us getting the vote. We only got the vote by one vote. You know, and it was a mother sending a telegram to her son, you know, you better vote for the ladies or I'm not going to be very happy. And he did. And that's what gave us the right to vote. It wasn't a bunch of men jumping up and down saying, yeah, we're going to give them the vote. We really want them to do it. No, it was a life. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. You know, and here we are in 2024 with all this playing around with the voting, you know, women losing their rights. I mean, I don't understand why we have to go backwards. Maybe we have to go backwards sometimes in order to go forward. But I like what Kamala Harris says. We are not going back. And that's very important, a very important expression. Well, we have another birthday here on September 26, 1893, and she made her transition in 1976, and that was Frieda Kirschway. Prolific political journalist, editor of the, she was the first editor of The Nation, and she actually owned it from 1937 to 1955. And she talked a lot about women's concerns, particularly around birth control in the 1920s. She also worked for the Women's International League of Peace and Freedom. It's hard to believe that here we had an International League of, for Peace and Freedom, you know, governed by women, you know, organized by women. You know, we need something like that today. We really do. We need, we need to, you know, revive our women's party again, at least so we have a strong voice collectively. Well, here's our last voice and our last birthday, and I think this is a very, very interesting woman. She was born September 27th, 1895, and made her transition in 1988. Jenny Matras. She was a labor organizer and educated. She immigrated from Hungarian Transylvania to Manhattan in 1906. She supported equal suffrage, worked to enroll black women in the ILGWU, and organized women in San Francisco. Amazing, amazing woman. Jenny Matias, labor organizer. Let's just think about this woman immigrating from Hungary. You know, it's amazing what these women did. And these are the shoulders that we are standing on. So when you feel that you have to say something, but you're afraid, think of these women. Think of the history that we have as women and the changes that we help make and the importance of standing up. You know, we do the Women's Basis Pledge at the end of the month. You know, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Think about that. When you're standing up, don't worry what people think about you. I mean, no matter what you do, they're going to think one way or another. You might as well stand up. You might as well let your voice be heard. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine on Sunday who is very, very shy, you know, and little by little just working on her to extend her voice, to project her voice. And she says to me, thank you so much for making me aware of this. You know, sometimes we're not aware of how frightened we are to speak out. And sometimes it just takes somebody along and says, give me your hand, I'm going to help you speak out. And it works. It really does. Well, that's a lot to think about, and I hope we're all thinking. I mean, maybe we think too much, I don't know. Sometimes I think a little bit too much, but then there's so much to think about and so much to worry. I mean, I think about me at this stage in my life. I mean, I'm a great-grandmother. I mean, that's so hard to believe. I mean, where did time go? I woke up one morning and there was this little baby in my life, a little Satori, and then a little Kaya, the second one, who's going to be having her third birthday in November. It's amazing to think about being a great-grandmother and how time goes by. And, you know, when you become a great-grandmother, that's when you really start thinking, you know, through your body, through your life, these generations are being born. And I think it's our responsibility to stand up to make sure that the children of the world, all the children of the world, are safe and secure. You know, I believe if one child is not safe, no child is safe. So it's very, very important to recognize that. It's just Ernest E. Debb said it so beautifully. He said, as long as there is one man in jail, I am not free. It's simple. It's a simple concept, but it's an idea that maybe we need to think about. Because freedom is such a precious gift, and we're kind of on the brink of God only knows what's going to happen, right? So we really have to hold on, like they say, and keep our eye on the prize. And the prize is a good election, and the prize is to maintain our freedom and our rights. Well, we're going to take a musical break, Ken. We're just about ready to bring our guest on the air. The song I'll be playing is We Are the Woman. We are the Women. It's a call to action for women and their allies to vote in the 2024 election. It's sung by a group of people, Beth Avedis, Macy Baruch, Hazel Miller, Jazz Robertson, Wenzi Wu, and Verena Fuitentis. My goodness, these names are just amazing. And when we return, I will be in conversation with Judy Armstrong. She was one of the founders of the We Are the Women Project, who are advocating for women and allies to vote in the 2024 election. We'll be talking about the song and how it came about. And the song is 4 minutes long, and so we're going to play the first 2 minutes during the break and the balance during the second musical break. So let's go ahead, let's go ahead and play that, and let's go ahead and get Judy Armstrong on the line.
I have 3 granddaughters. I want them to grow up in a world where women are respected, their voices are heard, and their vote counts. There comes a time when we must protect our rights, when we all must come together as one.
There's a choice we're making, and it's time to take a stand for democracy, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day
that our rights will not be taken away.
Is what we need.
We are the women. We are connected.
We are the ones who make a brighter future, so let's start voting.
There's a choice we're making.
We've, like I said, we've just played 2 minutes of the song We Are the Women, and when we come on our musical break, we're going to play the other half. For you folks just joining us, I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. Joining me on the phone from Colorado is Judy Armstrong, a founder of We Are the Women, advocates for women and allies to vote in the 2024 election. Good morning, Judy, and welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you.
You know, come a little closer to the phone.
Pardon?
Come a little closer to the phone so we can hear you better.
Oh, I will. So I said thank you, and I said thank you for playing the song. It's nice to hear some of it.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. We're going to play part two. We're going to take a musical break, and then we'll come back and finish our interview. So, Judy, welcome to Women's Spaces. And before we begin the interview, can I tell folks just a little bit about you?
Sure.
Judy Armstrong is one of the founders of We Are the Women, a call to action for women and their allies to vote in the 2024 election. The main vehicle of the campaign will be a transformative version of the song We Are the World with the title We Are the Women, which we just played half of. Judy lives in Lillington, Colorado with her cat, Tai Chi. She has developed a spiritual practice through Kabbalah under David Sanders and co-founder of the We Are Great Already. I love that. WAGA, We Are Great Already movement with him and Joyce Lisbon testing her computer and task management skills. Judy has traveled the world in scientific circles with her late husband. She earned a PhD in mathematics in 1978 and initially worked in aerospace, later becoming a CEO of a government-funded startup program in the 80s. Now retired, she is visiting all seven continents, studying Spanish, weight training, and volunteering. After her husband's passing, she began writing a book called Aging with Resilience. Her current concerns include the lack of civic education, denial of science, misinformation, and the potential for a national abortion ban. Wow, that's a lot, Judy. What a resume. Anything that you would like to add?
No, that's good for my resume. we could talk about what you communicated as your first question, because it's really got my head spinning.
Well, talk about how you first got involved with women's issues. You know, Women's Spaces is really geared toward encouraging women to stand up and let their voice be heard. So talk about how you got involved in issues, women's issues,
right.
And who inspired you, and what were some of your beginning challenges? I mean,
yes.
Especially, it looks like you went and got a PhD in mathematics in 1978.
Right.
That was not a popular thing for women to do. So
you've got it. That's part of the story. So, actually, my interest started as a student at Northwestern University, and all of the challenges that we would talk about late at night in the dorm that we were facing, and Gloria Steinem coming out with her Ms. Magazine, which brought all the topics out, and we would sit and talk about them. And a flashback of all of this took me to remembering that I was in college when the birth control pill was introduced. And that was a major change in the lives of a lot of women in college at the time. We also had, we started to get applications for charge cards as we graduated from college. Before that, women could not have charge cards.
Let me tell you a little funny story. Here. When we moved up to Sonoma County, talking about charge cards, we went for an interview. I mean, housing was almost impossible to get. And we end up going to this house and doing the interview with the woman. And she turns around and she asks us, well, do either one of you ladies have a charge card? And I thought, what is she talking about? But my sister whipped hers out because she had just gotten her teaching credential, and Citibank sent out charge cards to all the women who got their teaching credentials. So
yeah.
Go ahead. Women do not realize that.
Yeah, I know. It was a really big deal. Another one when I was in college and at that time was the whole idea of, did you change your last name when you got married? And that was a major topic, and we were always worried about the legal implications and how would you have a joint bank account and what would people judge to be the relationship between the two people. So that was interesting. At the time, we also had people traveling for abortions. Because it still went on in the back alleys, and people were still pursuing abortions. And I'll tell you a funny story. I thought of this morning in the shower. I once asked my grandmother, who was married to a fine Irishman, why she only had two children. And she said, well, Judy, what we did in those days, we bought sponges at the drugstore, and we soaked them in vinegar, and we put them up into our bodies. And that prevented pregnancy. I don't know the truth of that, and I might not want to rely on it, but I found it interesting.
Well, it's interesting that when you think that your grandmother was so aware of that, you know, that she was, you know, because during that time, so many women, that they just had so many children. I mean, when I think about that, it's just mind-boggling to me.
Yes, yes. And I mean, and somewhat like we also have the story of the Janes, which was a great documentary on television about the women who helped with abortions back then. So women have always had networks to help each other, which is what we're starting to grow again and what the song goes to and saying we are all connected. So
Well, you know, in starting the conversation out this way, you gave me an idea. I almost think that we should have panels of women our age group, because we are holding all that history. I mean, I live in Sonoma County, which is the home of the National Women's History Alliance, which because of them, we have a whole month of Women's History in March. And Molly McGregor and I went to Sonoma State together, and we're walking to class, and she's all excited because these two women are going to be writing this book on women in art. And I looked at her and I said, oh, are there women artists? who knew all these things? Well, you know, you have a very, very interesting background, you know, and I think it's really amazing that here you've gone through all these different cycles and some of the challenges that you've met. And here you are in 2024. Mm-hmm. And you are one of the founders of what you call it, the We Are the Women, a call to action for women to get out and to vote. Talk about that. I mean, what all of us have? Were you just sitting around talking to a bunch of girlfriends and all of a sudden you said, we got to do this? How did this all come about?
Yeah, no, it was not like that. I'm a constant learner. So there's an organization in Denver that maintains a learning center called Kabbalah Experience. And we don't have to talk about Kabbalah, except it's a form of spiritual awareness. And in the spring, we were doing a class on democracy and spiritual awareness in that context. And one of the classes was about women and democracy. And David, who actually wrote the lyrics to this song, David was the instructor. And David brought to class a study done by Georgetown University, which showed the level of women's rights in democracies versus what they become in autocracies, Afghanistan being the worst in the world and Denmark being the best. The United States listed as 37th in women's rights. And the flip is also true. The more women participate in the democracy, the stronger the democracy. So this is what we were studying. And I thought about it for a week or two, and I went to Dave, and I said, we have to do something. What can we do? And Joyce and I, and the three of us, and my inclination, of course, is to go to Rachel Maddow and have her present something on her show about this study and how atrocious it was. And then we decided there was no time. And to develop a song would be the only thing that we had time to do. And this was in May. And it took us until September 4th to get the recording done with the artists that we were able to recruit to do it.
How did you decide to pick We Are the World? I mean, how did that come about?
Yeah, that was a choice that David made. And the three of us met, and David said, you know, We Are the World is really easy to write lyrics to. And it's something that everyone will recognize and everyone will be able to sing. And that proved to be true because it was a lot of a cappella singing for people to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, when I watch it and listen to it, I mean, it just makes me cry. The whole idea of all these beautiful women coming together, and they're not really professional singers. They have good voices, but they're just amazing the way everybody came together. Well, you know, before we take a musical break and before we get into that, you say that you were in a Kabbalah class. What is it about the Kabbalah that, say, inspires you? Because there has to be something going on inside of you that inspires. What can you give people an idea? You know, Madonna became a follower of the Kabbalah also. So I'm just curious about that.
Well, one of the tenets of Kabbalah is to watch for what shows up and watch for the synchronicities of what is happening around you. So having this class was definitely a synchronicity for all of us, and it just generated a huge response just by the nature of what we were discussing. So Kabbalah allows you to do that and get deeper insights into events around you and see the unseen as what is said about studying Kabbalah.
Do you feel that it gives you a certain inner strength or a certain knowledge that helps you move forward a little bit easier?
I would say that it gives you an insight into what is going on around you so that you can create value out of it. So it helps you feel more invigorated and more able to contribute to getting things to move in a direction that you might like.
Well, you know, when I think of you, in 1978 getting your PhD in math, and then I think of you here coming in 2024. I mean, these are two very strong statements that you're making, you know, about yourself and about what you're going to involved in. So I just want to find out before we go into playing the second song, because like I said, this program is to encourage women to stand up. What do you think gives you your encouragement and your inspiration? What is it that all of a sudden, like you said, you waited a few days, you know, kind of mulled around in your mind, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got to do something. Where do you get that courage and that strength?
Well, it developed over a lifetime, of course, and I will have to tell you that I had an interesting childhood, and I carry a little bit of anger that rises once in a while, and from that anger, I draw strength to move forward with what I really care about. So these topics we talked about when I was an undergraduate student, I started revisiting those, and those caused me anger because women deserve better, and so we have to keep pushing forward for women's rights. And it's my drive to make things better, which comes from the early experiences.
Well, you know, I can really totally relate to you. And another thing that you said that I thought was very interesting is that you said during that time, because I'm 84, so during that time, all of a sudden, we got birth control.
Yes.
And, you know, people don't realize, I mean, I'll say this over the air, I'll tell you something, it was the best sex I ever had the first time I'd used birth control, because I wasn't worried whether I was going to get pregnant or not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, your mind was free.
But it did change women's lives, you know, and when I listen to some of the politicians now, you know, to me they don't give any credit for the advancement that is women have made because of the fact that we had birth control.
Well, and birth control is what allowed us to move into the workplace without anxiety about schedule and needing to reveal things about ourselves. And if we go back to abortion being illegal, then women will no longer have that same sense of freedom, psychological freedom, about being in the workplace and going for the successes that they could like, that they might like to achieve.
Well, I think that's the issue. They're afraid. I think there is a certain body of men that just don't want it to happen, and it's very sad. It really is. It's very sad. But you know, the upbeat is that you did take this song, you did do amazing thing, and we played part one. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a musical break, and we're going to play part two, and then when we come back, we'll talk all about the process, because to me, it is the most fascinating story. That I mean, I just think what you've done, I mean, I know when I listen to this song, I just went, this is perfect. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's play that song, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Judy Armstrong. I love that name, Judy Armstrong. And we will continue talking about the We Are the Women, the song that was written, and also what she's trying to do to support women and help women get behind voting for this election cycle. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Make a better day, just you and me. When you're down and out, there seems no hope. nosotras podemos votar por un mejor futuro.
Let's stop.
Oh, that song just touches my heart, you know, and I think of the struggle, you know, the struggle that we've gone through, you know. And oftentimes I say on my show, I am not for abortion, I am not against abortion, I am for choice, and we have to maintain that. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and with me from Colorado is Judy Armstrong, who's one of the founders of the We Are the Women Project, and we're going to talk all about that. Well, Judy, welcome back. Are you with me? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're here. Okay, that's okay. I get so, you know, radio is so funny. You know, we are live here in Sonoma County, yeah. So it's very, very interesting. Well, you know, you state on your website, the main vehicle of the campaign will be transformational version of the song We Are the World with the title, yeah, We Are the Women, which we just played the second half. Let's talk about the song. First of all, what you said that you thought about it for a few days and then you went and you talked to this gentleman. What happened after that? How did what was your thinking process even before you went to talk to him?
Oh, well, before talking to him, it was, we have to get this message out. And I would only say, it's not just an abortion message. It's a message about rights of women in a democracy. And abortion is one of those rights. There are many others that we're now having to fight for. So it was the realization of all of that and wanting women to get that message, not just the abortion message, but a message about all the freedoms that they have and that will become at risk, so they would understand how important this issue was. So the goal was to figure out how to get the message out to as many women as possible, as fast as possible. And David had the brainstorm to come up with the idea of the video. And Joyce and I agreed. We reviewed lyrics. We agreed to the lyrics. And then we went into, how do we produce this mode?
Well, how did you produce it? I mean, how did you get permission? I mean, what was that process?
Right. That was the first phone call. The business that I had was really heavily into intellectual property. So I called my intellectual property attorney and got an opinion from him. And he said that it's fair use to use those lyrics, given that it evolved out of an educational the focus of it arose out of an educational situation, and we were not doing it for the purpose of making money. Therefore, it was fair use. So the first thing we did was to seek legal review before we started down that path. And then we started looking for, we knew we needed a sound recording. We came up with an idea of getting iPhone videos submitted by users and listeners, that could be part of it. We talked to a young man who'd grown up across the street with me, who now works for Smarty Pants in New York. He reinforced that he thought it was a wonderful idea, but that we needed a solid soundtrack behind it. So then we found a sound studio, and the people at the Colorado Sound Studio were wonderful, and they helped us recruit our 6 lead singers, and 2 of them are professionals, actually. So we got the 6 professionals recruited, and then we ran some things at a coffee shop to recruit other women who were in choruses around town or just liked to sing. So we recruited the rest of the chorus, so now we had our singers, and we met with the sound studio people and decided how we were going to do this and when we were going to do it, and we got everything coordinated. So on September 4th in the evening, we just all came together and we recorded the song. That was how it evolved. And then I had the pleasure of watching. I never knew what sound engineering was and why you get an Academy Award for it. But then I watched the sound engineer work on the quality of the music and the vocals, and that was an amazing process. So the process of getting it recorded, and David did a lot of that. He acted as an artistic director. And Joyce and I, Joyce took on communications, and I took on the business piece and also the part about getting it to go viral.
Let me ask you a question here. Number one, how much time did it take you? And when I listen to it, you know, being a producer myself, all those things that you have brought together cost money. You know, there's a lot of, and a lot of energy, a lot of volunteering. How did you pull all that together?
Well, fortunately, Joyce and I are both retired, and I have some skills as a former CEO, so I'm a great networker, and the sound studio was terrific. All the local talent volunteered their time.
Oh,
we certainly would not have been able to afford to pay them. And the other things, we have a GoFundMe page, and we also have a donate button on our website, which is wegavote.com. So we've been getting contributions that way, and we now have over 700 views on TikTok of the video. So we have more communications going on than Joyce and I together can respond to. And some of those people are making donations, and in return for those donations, they're being given a We Are Great Already hat, which we have on in the recording of the video.
So what was it like? You know, all of a sudden you saw all these things coming together, and then comes the day, comes the day that it's actually done.
Right.
Was there a party that you got people together to see how they were going to react? I mean, how did you get the first level of the word out?
I think we used personal email contacts. So we just sent it to everybody we knew. I was on Facebook, so I created a Cat Allies page on Facebook that people go to. And then we learned how to use TikTok. It turned out our New York producer person said it would be best if you could have an influencer in your singing group. And this was like 2 days before, and we're going, oh, it's too late now. And then when we did our recording, it turned out Jazz, one of the featured vocalists, is an influencer. So now Jazz is helping me, and I hired a college student who hadn't gone back to college yet to help me with, she just left this last weekend, to help me with all the TikTok and Instagram and Facebook posting. So we were very creative in finding resources around us, is what I guess I would say. And Joyce, Dave, and I, all three, are very active volunteers or employers or teachers or known in the community, so that we have a lot of contacts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you talk, and I think about you studying the Kabbalah, you know, I'm a student of Unity. I'm sure you're familiar with Unity. And it sounds to me like, you know, here you hear all this information in class. All of a sudden you get wind that women are having all these issues. You go home, you think about it for a few days. You go to David, start talking about it, and suddenly the whole thing's evolving and everybody just seems to drop in.
Yes, yeah, I know. That's what David kept saying.
Yeah, everybody just drops in. I mean, people need to understand that oftentimes you get an idea when all of a sudden the first thing, oh, I can't do it. It's going to cost too much money. You know, when you start taking the first steps, it's amazing how it falls in. So I am curious about David's part. You know, here he is. He's a male. He's writing these lyrics. How was that? Did you both? Did you? And who was the other person? You said that you have a Joyce. What's Joyce's last name?
Joyce's last name is Lisbon, and she has she's about our ages as well. And her college degrees are in sex education, and she has a career of running Planned Parenthood offices and working in reproductive rights. So she had a lot of contacts that were valuable for this whole thing. David has been teaching Kabbalah for over 20 years. He's also a psychotherapist. So he had the right background and attitude for this. And I will say, Kabbalah, probably 80% of the Kabbalah students are women. So he has very much knows what women think is. So he knew. He just knew the words to write. So it came out very well.
The story, to me, is such a great story, not only because of the end product, but mm-hmm. how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that people need to recognize, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there listening, they want to do a project, they want to do something, just start writing it down. Start talking to your friends, and you will be surprised. So I want to ask you another question. Let's talk a little bit about what is the goal for where, what is the strong mm-hmm. goal, and also what kind of impact do you think you're having right now?
Well, it's really fascinating. Our goal has been to go viral. That's what Joyce and I have focused on. The more it got out there, the more people that saw it, the more good things would happen. We didn't know what good things were. So that's where we started in working. And I think you're probably familiar with Red, Wine, and Blue.
Oh, yes.
So they did another Zoom call. I believe it was a Zoom and not a webinar. And they played our song in that interview and discussed it there. And now in their promotional emails and things, we're one of the websites that they list for people. And they say, go here for the song. And then there's another group, it's called Spur, about reproductive rights. And they've been promoting it. And there's another one, Women United. And they've done a posting. They've done a little video thing of their own using our soundtrack, which we consider flattery. That's not a bad thing. So we're just continuing to try to link with other groups to get more word out. We'd love, a goal could be to get Oprah Winfrey to notice it, or a Taylor Swift, or somebody who could get it more noticed.
It's going to happen. it's already happening. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop it. It's just amazing. And there's a whole video that's out on We Are the World, how they actually made it. And it almost feels the same way. And I mean, it's just an outstanding thing. Well, we've come to the end of the segment, and also I want to have time because I've decided when we end the show, I want to take the 4 minutes. I want to play the whole song at the end. I just think it's just amazing. I mean, we have to hear the whole thing. I mean, it really is so inspiring. And so these are your final words. Let us know how folks can help you. What is their website? Is there anything sure. that you suggest to people? How can they inspire their groups to start playing the song?
Well, the website is wegavote.com, and that's where you'll find the recording of the song on YouTube, and you can share the link. So you can share it with all your friends, so all of your friends can listen to it. There's a donate button on wegavote.com. And we're also getting much more notoriety on TikTok. So if you're used to using hashtags, if you just do hashtag wegavote, you'll find all of these things through a Google search. And then you'll be able to run with them. So our goal would be to ask people to just keep spreading the word everywhere you can. If you chose to donate and you want to buy a hat, after you watch the video closes with the hat, that becomes a possibility.
Can you spell out the website?
It's Wega. Oh, I guess I say Wega. Waga. We say it different ways. So it's W-A-G-A. We are great already. Vote, VOTE.com.
Say that one more time.
It's WAGAVOTE.com.
Okay, and I'll remind all my listeners that it will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. Before we say goodbye, in a few sentences, any special thing that you would like to tell our listening audience?
Well, I would say thank you to Elaine for giving me a chance to do this, and I will tell you that shivers, goosebumps, and crying are the common reactions to the song.
Oh, I know. So, Judy Armstrong, thank you so much, and thank your partner. What was her name again?
Joyce Lisbon and David Sanders are the other two people involved in this effort.
Tell them thank you from the bottom of our heart for doing such a great thing and having the courage and the confidence and the faith to bring it forward. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That's a very meaningful thing for you to have said.
You take care, Judy, and we will talk again.
Okay.
Wow, what a great interview. What an inspiration. Here are these people get together and they go ahead and they decide to do it. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to play the whole song. We Are the Women.
I have three granddaughters. I want them to grow up in a world where women are respected, their voices are heard, and their vote counts. There comes a time when we must protect our rights, when we all must come together as one.
There's a choice we're making, and it's time to take a stand for democracy, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day
that our rights will not be taken away.
We are all a part of this one great nation. And the truth, you know,
equality is what we need.
We are the women. We are connected.
We are the ones who make a brighter future. So let's start voting.
Now's a choice we're making.
Standing up for our own lives.
It's true, we'll make a better day, just you and me.
Well, send them your heart so they know.
Shown us by making our voices heard.
So we all
must lend a helping hand.
We are the women.
We are the women.
We are connected.
We are connected.
We are the ones who make a brighter future. So let's start voting.
There's a choice we're making.
Choked up. I can't believe it. This song is just moving me. I mean, I remember when I first heard We Are the World. Oh, anyway, you're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and we have a few minutes left here, and I just love this. We are the women. We are connected. We are the ones who make a brighter future, so let's start voting. We are the ones who bring forward life. Do you realize it should be our choice over our own bodies? And, you know, like, I agree 100% with what Judy Armstrong, forget about abortion already. It's a time that we have choice over our own body, that we have a right to health care. We have a right to good schools for our children. We have a right to be in a war-free world, you know, where children can flourish, where the future is ours. I mean, when you listen to this song, you know, you just think, you know, and our lives will be stronger and free. History has shown us by making our voices heard that changes are being made. And it's very important. It is so important because our children are the future. They live what they learn. What are they learning now? They're learning the way you solve problems is by being violent. The way you solve issues is by lying. You know, I mean, it's interesting that the Kabbalah and Unity came up. You know, they're trying to get the Ten Commandments in all the schools. Do you realize one of the commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness? That means thou shalt not lie. Truth is the most important thing in the world. If we can't trust the world, if we can't trust our media, if we can't trust each other, we don't have a chance. We really don't. Trust is so important. And the first letter in trust is T. We must know the truth. The truth sets us free. Because once we know the truth, we know what has to be done. And for me, the story that Judy told is the fact that they saw a problem, they wanted to do it, and they start taking steps towards getting there. And that is the most important thing. And if anything, Women's Spaces accomplishes, it's to get women out there and stand up for the future of our children. And I am very emotional. I realize this because I'm a great-grandmother. Two little babies, because of me, are still on this planet again. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I really believe programs like this give me hope. And I know that there are people out there that are doing the best they can. So all of us stand up together, and don't forget the most important thing is to vote.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 23rd, 2024.